Today we're going to talk about disappointments. I have no disappointments whatsoever. But a lot of people go through life with a lot of disappointments and they die with disappointments. This morning as I woke up, I was, between the days between Christmas and New Year, it's a bit confusing, right? You wake up and you say, well, what's today? You know, is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Oh, it feels like Friday, right? And then, oh, it doesn't happen to me. It happens to everybody. Oh, it feels like Friday. And then Sunday comes. Does it feel like Sunday? For me, it lasts another week. You know, even though Christmas Day comes and goes, and then the New Year comes and goes, I struggle with this for another week. I wake up, what day is it? So I woke up this morning, I said, I think it's Sunday, but it doesn't feel like Sunday. Maybe I should sleep another 15 minutes, and then maybe I shouldn't. Because if I don't show up, people are going to be disappointed, right? I imagine, like, you know, on a Sunday morning, you come to church, and I've advertised what the sermon is going to be all about. You're all gearing up because you all deal with disappointments, and hey, you want to get all the answers about how to defeat disappointment, and you come, and I just say to you, you know, I'm afraid to disappoint you. It's been a tough week for me. I've been so busy, could not prepare a sermon. Now, knowing this church, I can assure you that not many people will be disappointed. You most probably will say, you know, I know, Pastor, it's okay. You know, we can just sing songs and eat bagels together. I wouldn't be able to do this in many other contexts because there are certain expectations from certain individuals in life that we expect them to deliver what we want, right? And this happens in our workplace. You know, there are certain expectations, and rightly so. You know, like, you don't want to go to work and say, hey, man, I just want to... A lot of people do, actually. You know, I met this kid I was not planning to... You know, he started a wonderful job in New York City 5-6 years ago, right from college, with a huge salary, and after 6 months, he quit. And I said, well, what happened? Did they fire you? He said, no, I just did not like the environment that I was in. It was terrible. He says, no, I was in a cubicle. I wanted a big office for myself. I said, you just graduated. I was cleaning toilets when I was your age. And I was happy. You see, the expectations disappointed this kid that he was not given what he thought he deserved. And he sat without work for many, many months. And I just could not follow up his news because it was just wrong, absolutely wrong. Now, disappointments are part of our lives. You see, no matter what we do, we are not exempt from it. You know, when people think about the Bible, they think they were perfect people, those characters in the Bible. But believe me, the Bible has a lot of people that are just full of disappointed people. You know, even Jesus, to a certain extent, I mean, he went to the temple. Remember, he was mad. He was angry. What have you done to my father's house? He was utterly disappointed because the expectation that was that people will truly worship in the temple, yet, you know, they've done something so different about it. You know, they were selling pigeons and there was a big business going on. So he was angry. So disappointment, it is natural. If it's justified, it will produce certain type of anger. You know, I don't know if I, you know, I can only speak about myself. So when I get disappointed, you know, disappointment happens because certain expectations that I had were not met. And therefore, it produces a certain type of anger. And some of this anger is absolutely justified. And some of it is not. You see, there are two types of anger. There's justified anger. And Christians should never be afraid of being angry. You know, a lot of the times we keep our anger inside and say, you know what, we need to do the Christian thing to do to love. I go like, you're not a robot. You have to get angry. Jesus was angry. But also we're told that within our anger, not to do crazy stuff. And it's so easy to do crazy stuff because it makes you feel good. It's almost like therapeutic to punch somebody. No? But it feels terrible afterwards. But for that very moment, you just feel like, I did it. This was something, a dream came true. But then, of course, there are consequences for that punch. But it's okay to get angry. You know, a lot of the people hide their anger and they are phonies. They are not real people. The Bible is full of characters who were angry. Take Moses. I mean, he was a murderer. I mean, he's the one who just saved people, you know, from, he was the one who God used to save people from Egypt, and they were, you know, they crossed the sea and all that, but he killed somebody out of his anger. And eventually he will not enter the holy promised city because he was so angry at his people, they were so stubborn. He does something that God did not want him to do. He takes his staff and just hits the rock to gush water out of it, but that's not something that God wanted him to do. So out of his anger, I mean, he was expressing his anger. Sometimes we will fail. Sometimes the pressure is so strong that we will get angry. And it's okay. If anybody tells you that, you know, you did wrong, you say, yes, I did. But I couldn't help myself. Give grace to yourself, but don't dwell there. Now, it's also important to remember that God is not the one who disappoints us. And everybody blames God in society. If God was this, or if God was that, or how can God let this, you know? Why did God did not stop the Iraq war? Why did God not, you know? God has nothing to do with it, you know? God, it's the people who are doing all this stuff. And life circumstances and people disappoint us. God does not disappoint us. The problem is when we don't trust Him, we disappoint ourselves and we blame upon God. When something bad happens in life, it's not time to blame God. It's time to run to Him. Most times, I find, is that I deal terribly with disappointment when I'm walking far from God. There's something happens to our souls when we are close to God. We can handle life's disappointments through a very different perspective. Sometimes we expect too much from people that they cannot deliver. Now, there are many types of disappointments. Sometimes, you know, they are very real and we have no solutions, even as Christians. Death is one of them. You know, death of a loved one. I mean, that's utterly disappointing. We cannot help to bring them back to life. We sometimes, all these disappointments turn into anger because there were a lot of things that were unresolved within us. And then we beat ourselves so hard. I wish I would have said that. I wish I would have done this and that. You know, while the person was around us, I say to them, hold on, close your eyes, travel back in time, meet that person, and ask for forgiveness if you've never asked for forgiveness. Do that and bring it into a closure. Don't just move on with the disappointments. Sometimes, you know, there are stupid things we get disappointed about. You know, it happens in a married couple where two come together, they're set in their ways. You know, if the boy has been spoiled by his mother, he expects everything from his wife. My mother ironed my shirts this way. If you don't iron them this way, boy, initially it's just like Fifth World War going on. And the wife says, well, I'm not your mother. Well, you know, and then just war erupts. But then eventually, give it 5 years, no one cares how the shirt is ironed because it's never being ironed anyway now. You move on to the next thing, the toothpaste. It's another funny thing, you know? Some squeeze it, some, you know, whatever. You know, there are different techniques to take that paste out of the toothpaste. And it has caused so many divorces in life simply because the expectation was, I do it a certain way. Now, it is interesting that we are men and women of habits, right? If somebody takes us out of our habits, we feel very insecure. But sometimes there's a blessing when somebody takes us out of our habits because we see things that we would have never known that they existed. And there are different ways of dealing with toothpaste, right? It should become less about what we desire and what God desires for us. As Jesus prays when he asks, see, the way we look at life, if you're living life for God's glory, then your main purpose is to honor him in your life. So when the toothpaste is just being squeezed in a certain way, you start thinking, is it worth it? Is it worth my time or energy to spend time being disappointed on something that really does not matter at the end of the day? And the sooner you learn this lesson, the more you will enjoy life. Because there are certain things You have to teach yourself, because you have to unteach yourself of certain things. I don't normally want to quote from William Shakespeare. Expectation is the root of all heartache. You know, certain people, as I said, they expect too many things from certain people that they cannot deliver. Christians are not exempt from this. I know Christians that require and expect certain things from non-Christians that they're not capable of delivering, right? Well, we say they should be able to forgive. But how can they understand forgiveness when they don't understand the concept of forgiveness from your point of view? They should move on. Well, they cannot move on because they're not you. You have to release certain things versus empower certain things in your life. Your expectation and my expectations of certain things will give us utter, it will create a nightmare in our lives. It will make us lose sleep because it's all about control. It's really, at the end of the day, it's about control. I need to control this person to do exactly what I'm asking them to do, because that's what I would do. And I always say, do you really? Do you really forgive your enemies all the time? Well, it depends what type. Oh, there are types. It changes the whole. Sometimes when we are pointing, there are certain things we need to point. But when we're pointing, sometimes there are three other fingers pointing at us. We need to be careful. Don't expect too many things from people. You're going to end up disappointed, and your disappointment is going to turn into anger, and your anger is going to turn into bitterness, and your bitterness is going to destroy you physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and eventually no one wants to talk to you. You're going to end up all by yourself, because anybody touches you, you're going to get angry. We create a lot of the problems within our lives. And sometimes we try therapy, right? People say, well, there's something wrong with me. I need to go and see a therapist. The therapist will see. Well, they will create more problems in your life than you've even not known. The core issue is spiritual. Absolutely spiritual, because it's unseen. Expectation is there. Sometimes we create our own heartbreaks, as I said, through expectations. Disappointments are just God's way of saying, I have got something better. I've got something better. Be patient, have faith, trust God. Be patient in our society. I throw things in the microwave and I have them warm and hot in 20 minutes. But if I take time to cook that same meal in 2 hours, it will taste far superior. But it takes patience. You don't know about this, about me. When I was growing, I was the most impatient kid you would know. I want it now, I want to go get it. But life has taught me that certain things, you have to be very patient. When God deals with certain things, He deals with style. You know, in life, sometimes we try to turn our disappointments into anger, and we want vengeance because injustice has been done, right? But what does God say? Vengeance is mine. Chill out. Leave it to me. And sometimes the worst part is when God really changes your enemy's heart and makes them into something so beautiful. Remember Jonah went to Nineveh? God, don't save these people. They have to be destroyed. He really wanted God to destroy them because they were so terrible. But then God saves that nation and Jonah has to live with that. You know, God's ways are different than our ways. Always, always, always. Whenever there's a disappointment, ask yourself the question, why am I being so disappointed about this? Most of the times, it has nothing to do with the person, it has to do with you and your expectations. That should be the base where you should start questioning. Now, first, I must say that certain disappointments are real. You know, when somebody hurts you, you know, being a pastor, I've learned this, you know, in my ministry, I have done a lot of wonderful things, I think, without expecting anything back. But when people drop you like a fly, faster than a fly, there is a point where you get disappointed. Some people say, well, I've got thick skin. I don't. You get hurt. People who say they've got thick skin, What they're saying is, I've built so many walls, I don't want anybody to penetrate. Whenever a person says, whoever says, I've got thick skin, they're really, really very vulnerable. They've put the walls and they're not letting anybody in. You know, being hurt is real. We need to deal with it. And we need to mourn. So when somebody disappoints me on something, not just I'm talking about toothpaste, because I've graduated from there, is you need to start thinking, okay, this is real, this hurts, this stinks. What do I need to do? I'm angry. Should I go and talk to the person? Maybe. But it might go nowhere, it might get worse. I need to take a step back and talk to somebody about this. I don't want to analyze and overanalyze these things. Because somebody sitting at the balcony and looking at your disappointment, they might have a very different view from up there than the way you're dealing with life. And they might be a great, or she might be a great help to bring you from point A to point B. But sometimes the disappointment is real. You know, the person who's sitting at the balcony and looking, they'll say, yeah, this is real. It stinks. I'm sorry you're going through this. Mourn. Take time to mourn. See, a lot of people Christianize and spiritualize things. I'm okay, I trust the Lord, everything will be fine. Wow, that's great. The next day they're miserable. I thought you trusted the Lord. Why are you not moving on? Because they've never processed it. They've never processed what was going on inside them because they had this great expectation. They threw a number of Bible verses, taking them out of context. I love people quoting Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans for you. I know the plans that will bring you prosperity and great future. Wait a second. Let's see who it was written to first. And some Christians I know, they are in prison today, or suffering for their faith, simply believing in Christ. Jeremiah 29:11 is just not working for them. I have great plans for you. Does that make sense? Mourn. Now release your disappointment to God. You have to release that to somebody. Humans cannot handle disappointment. They've got enough of their own. Talk to somebody, but release it to God. You have to surrender it. You can't give 80% to Him and keep 20%. You have utterly to give it at the foot of the cross and leave it there. Leave it there, but also open a new chapter. Now, that's always going to be at the back of your mind. It's like a surgery you go through, right? I remember at the age of 19, I used to play professional soccer, not football, but football in Europe. And I was good at it. And I was 19, and I was just, you know. So when one day we were playing against a Ghanaian team from Ghana, they came. It was against my Bible school. This was in Paris. And of course, we had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then we went to the field, and we were playing soccer. And you know when there are girls cheering at you at the age of 19, you become Superman. And you, when you first score, you know, the first goal you score, you feel great. There's the cheering goes crazy. Then you just do things beyond your capability. And I was one of those kids, you know, like, yeah, cheering. I was not even wearing shin guards. And because I was superhuman that day, I scored the first goal. And then before you know it, the team was very angry that I scored. The other team was very angry. And then one of the guys blocks me. And then, of course, instead of hitting the ball, he hits my leg. Of course, it breaks every bone that's in my leg. But even then, I was trying to get up. The rest is history. Now, I had to go through an operation. They had to operate my leg in a foreign country. French doctors, they were okay. I can walk now. They put metals in. They took metals out. They put screws in. They put screws out. But however, I still have the scar. The surgery was very painful. If it wasn't painful, I cannot walk today. But I still have the wound to remind me of that day. And every time the season changes, I've got a little bit pain on my right leg. It reminds me again of what I went through. Now, the thing is, when we hand our disappointments to God, we need to give time for us to heal. And when we heal, the scar is always going to be there to remind us. Don't take the knife and open that scar again. A lot of people do that. Well, I forgot something and it's too late. It's been healed, move on. Why are we bringing the past again? So take time to mourn and release your disappointment to God. Evaluate and adjust your expectations in life. Sometimes our expectations are so unreal that I feel sorry for some non-Christians that they're going through hell because this person is claimed to be Christ. Chill out. You know, I love Psalm 46, verse 10. Even though it says in the English version, "Be still and know that I'm God," the literal translation from Hebrew, it means relax, chill out. I am God, not you. Sometimes we play mini gods here, thinking that, hey, I'm God's anointed. Misplaced hope ultimately leads to disappointment. Assessing that disappointment can be a starting point in readjusting our expectations about the things we want in life. It can also, what it does, if we adjust those expectations, actually, we can really live with these people that we've hated them so much. Because we know where they're coming from, and my expectation is not too high, so there's peace that comes into the situation. And it has happened to me so many times where I was expecting so much from a person that they could not deliver. And there was this resentment that was going on. And remember, there are many differences between each and every person. It could be cultural, it could be socioeconomic, it could be value system. Those are all real. You cannot just throw a Bible verse on everything and expect things. Which I believe is a very bad testimony for what a Christ-like person should be. We need to be much more merciful. You know, remember the difference between grace and mercy? Is grace, I give you something you don't deserve, but I give it to you as a gift. Mercy is I'm taking the punishment that you deserve. And Christians must be merciful and graceful. And finally, the third one is get moving. You know, some people are still trapped. Oh, I can never let go. I don't want to be around you. Seriously, you don't want to be around people who can't let things go. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. But you don't know what they did to me. I know it must have been so hurtful. But move on. Well, I'm not a robot. And there's this funny phrase people say as Christians go and preach this, which I think it's so unbiblical. They say, well, as Christians, we are called to forgive and forget. I have tried that when I was younger, to forgive and forget. I was never able to forget. That's just a lie. There's no Bible verse that says forgive and forget. But people just use that as, oh, we are Christians, we need to forgive and forget. No, you cannot forgive and forget. What does the Bible say? That God chooses to remember our sins no more. It's a choice. And choice is a decision. And a decision you are the only one who can make for yourself. So you have to choose to remember no more. The way I would test myself if I'm still remembering or not, when you're driving, when you start talking to yourself about the person, you've not forgotten about it. And then you have to catch yourself and say, well, wait a second, I'm still talking about this? After so many months, let it go. And it is at that very moment you really need to resurrender things to God so that He doesn't control your life. A lot of us, we empower these things. There are certain things, my friends, we're never going to be able to change. But let's not stop our lives from moving on, because we are going to lose on wonderful things that God has for each and every one of us. Now, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23. I forgot to read the Bible verse, by the way. That's all right. Whatever I've said, it came from there as well. But here are the two Bible verses that I wanted to concentrate on. Kings will be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will never be disappointed. See, the problem is, in our disappointment, is that disappointments change our focus from focusing on God versus focusing on and then it turns us to focus upon the problem or the person. We need to shift our focus. When you truly give things to God, things are not going to change instantly. But as months and years pass, you're going to look back and say, thank God that I did what I did back then. Time will show you that God can be trusted and that those who hope in Him will never be disappointed. Isaiah 40, even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like lions. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I'm not talking about, you know, vitamin C or these energies, but I'm talking about true revival that takes place within the soul that I cannot really put it in words, because I do believe it is through the power of the Holy Spirit, is that He will renew the way you think. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, I know a lot of you worry. Worry is part of life. Look what worry did to me. No, sorry. That was my wife. I love him not. I just had to get rid of it. Now she, you know, she just loves me. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. But one thing really helps, and I really genuinely say this. You know, being in ministry, you end up being involved in people's lives. You see the ups, you see the downs, you see your own weakness, you see your own fragility, you see your own mortality, and you see your own limits in life. Because, you know, you're not a superhuman. People expect so much, and then you deliver as much as you can, but there's a point that you start laughing. And you have to laugh. Never forget to laugh at your own problems as well. One of the things that really helps the person to move forward is they need to understand. There's a verse that says in Psalm 34, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. A lot of people know of the Lord, but they've never tasted Him and seen Him. You see, they've got this idea. You know, having an idea, it's not incarnational. It really needs to sink within your soul that the God that you believe in is really real. This is not a figment of my imagination. This is real stuff. You know, I read the story of creation. You know, theology was the queen of all science until Darwin came in and came up with an idea. But it's amazing how people just shifted on evolution because they've forgotten to understand things from God's perspective. That's a whole different sermon. The other thing you need to do is spend time talking to God. You know, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. You know, a lot of times they say, if I went to this seminar, if I just did this, life will be much bearable. I want to buy this book that gives me 7 steps to a better life or 5 steps to a better life. It's just not going to work. You have God on your side. And how do you pray? Anytime, anywhere, even in the shower. Right? A lot of people think like, I have to close my eyes. You could close your eyes. If you're driving, I would advise you otherwise. You know, you could pray nearer to God, easier to me as you're driving. But anyway, sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. It is fascinating that I've met many Christians who are going through so many turmoils, and they were the most relaxed people that I've ever met. And you're just like, what's the secret? They say, God. I just can't worry about it anymore, and I truly have peace about it. And you look at them and you say, you've got big problems here. I know, but I cannot understand this joy that I have. It comes from above. When you can't put your prayer into words, it's okay. God hears your heart. Some people think that they have to verbalize everything that they are feeling. You know, the best thing sometimes to do is just sit down and zip it. And let God read your heart. He already knows what's in it. He already knows what's troubling you. You know, I've been into prayer meetings where prayer turned into preaching. They were preaching at the next door neighbor there. He was praying with them. And at the end, I used to say, well, why didn't you tell them everything you've just told God? Well, I had to pray about this. But I said, it's nothing has to do with God. It had to do everything with this guy that was sitting next to you. You've got issues with him. Go and, you know. Sometimes you just have to be quiet. He knows everything that's ranging and say, Lord, help me. I've messed things up. But it's never too late. With God, it's never too late. You could reach any time to God. God will start a whole new page with you. Remember the thief on the cross? I mean, he did not have many chances to do a lot of good works or repent from his sin and live this righteous life. Tonight, you will be with me in paradise. He starts new pages with people. So 2020, I pray that for many in this nation, you will be a new page. And a lot of Christians live under so much guilt. And it's never too late. You know, at the sermon, at the funeral yesterday, I've mentioned about this guy that I've met. He was just full of sin, I guess. You know, like he had foul language, this and that. And he told me very clearly that there was not enough holy water that will cleanse him. And I told him, I agreed with him. Because there's no holy water or good works or prayers that will cleanse you. It's the blood of Jesus, a drop of it, will make you clean. So much so that when you're cleansed, and if a mosquito bites you, he will fly saying there's power in the blood of Jesus. That's what happens. There's so much power to cleanse us from inside out. We have to pray with our eyes on God and not on our difficulties, Oswald Chambers said. You know, a lot of the times we're just constant. Difficulties are part of life, my friends. We just have to go through it. And every season in our lives will bring different challenges. Let's focus our eyes on God. It's one of my favorites. It's not the body's posture, but the heart's attitude that counts when we pray. It's not how people are, oh, what a wonderful man gets on his knees and prays. Oh, Pharisees did that. It's the posture of your heart. And that's where it all starts and ends. Prayer is the most powerful weapon of a believer. So turn your disappointments into prayer. Certain ones, you just have to let it go. Certain disappointments, you cannot do anything about. I think the battery just ran out, but that's all right. Just at the right time. You just have to let it go. There are the other disappointments that you cannot control. You have to mourn and give them to God. And when you give them to God, don't go back to them. Try to move forward. My friends, there is great, great hope and wonderful things that God has for each and every one of us. I truly say this. And Jesus says, you will be, to his followers, you'll be doing greater things than the ones that you have seen, if you believe. And I do believe. But we need to do these things for his glory and not ours. Not for the advancement of our little kingdoms here on earth, but for his glory. Amen. Let me give